The new Trump administration has thrown off policies on immigration, border control, trade, federal employment, the environment, and oil and gas transport. But we've seen nothing on information technology, on which the government spends more than $80 billion a year. At this point, we're reading tea leaves. Well, one good reader joins me now, Dave Wennergren, Executive Vice President for Operations and Technology at the Professional Services Council. And Dave, as you've pointed out and we've all noticed, you can't even get to the policy websites because they've been scrubbed away.
Yeah, yeah, it's an important topic, and messages are still to be discerned. I think, you know, you can clearly see that there will be a focus on some issues that matter deeply to the technology community around infrastructure and around bringing commercial innovation and doing things that will increase jobs. But the specifics around some of these most pressing issues like IT modernization, better use of digital, recognizing the Internet of Things and cybersecurity are still yet to be seen.
Getting back to the infrastructure projects, if they happen, let's take, say, the wall with Mexico, whatever form that might take, or the two pipelines that the president has tried to maybe get started again, the two oil pipelines. Even those are actually, that in modern ways of construction, are embedded with technology, sensors, Internet of Things that make them living types of structures, not just passive.
Congressman Hurd, who said just the other day about, you know, if we're building a wall, it should be about sensor technology and things like that, as opposed to brick and mortar, perhaps.
On the main policy areas where we've had cloud and mobility and data center consolidation and all of these issues surrounding modernization, have you seen or heard anything? And what is it the industry is looking for?
Well, I think we're at that interesting transition point now because the landing team's work is done. We've gotten through inauguration, and now I think the real rubber hits the road as the Trump administration gets senior leaders confirmed and in place into the jobs. And so, you know, of the 609 Senate confirmed positions, we still have 659, I think, awaiting nominations, 27 awaiting confirmation, only four have been confirmed. And so still a long way to go. But as those new leaders come in, I mean, clearly that what we've seen so far is there will be a relentless push to do IT modernization, to recognize that the government is spending a lot. If you think about these sort of themes about how are we spending taxpayer dollars wisely, and are we spending money in a way that will get us to this better future that we're working towards, right? Then clearly outdated, insecure infrastructure will continue to be a pressing priority for the year ahead, as will necessary improvements in cybersecurity and a recognition of both, I'll say, use of data, better use of mobility. And so how can we take advantage of commercial innovations and make them a way of how government does business more rapidly?
Because that is a set of questions in which Congress has had an answer. If you look at immigration or the environment, the activities on one way or the other have been largely administration initiatives for a long time because Congress doesn't seem to be able to weigh in or come up with comprehensive immigration law or whatever the case might be. But they have done a lot of legislation on acquisition reform. It's stuck, but there has been legislation on IT modernization and cybersecurity. So maybe that bodes well for these things actually happening.
Yeah, I think so. And what we're seeing is bipartisan interest in Congress with the new Congress in place to re-energize the modernizing government technology bill that had been passed through the House with bipartisan support last year, but then died in the Senate at the end of the last Congress. And so it seems to be great energy to move that forward again, and PSC is wholly behind that. We think that that legislation that helps more aggressively move the government towards taking advantage of commercial technologies, more rapid adoption of the cloud, getting past these systems that are no longer supported or maintained, will be hugely helpful to the government, not only to reduce costs, improve cybersecurity, but actually position the government to be able to take advantage of the web-based application world of the future that we live our lives on every day.
We're speaking with Dave Wennergren, Executive Vice President for Operations and Technology at the Professional Services Council. And you mentioned the 500 and some, almost 600 appointees yet to be appointed, let alone approved by the Senate. And so they're going to come in at some point, weeks, months, possibly a year or more down the line. How do they operate? What's the best way for them to get going when they do come in sort of after the parade has cleared out and things are back down to normal?
Right. Well, you know, in addition to the 690 Senate confirmed positions, I think all told, there's probably about 4,000 senior positions that are political appointments, many of them not requiring Senate confirmation. And so it will be months to see the entire new political leadership team in place in this organization. So there is this fascinating dynamic that I've often referred to as the sort of awkward time where, you know, it may be we may have, you know, General Mattis in place as the Secretary of Defense, and in DOD we have some other senior officials that are going to carry over. But there's a lot of places where career government executives will serve in acting capacities for some extended period of time going forward. And so what does that mean? And I've got to say, as an alumni member of the federal government, that the worst thing you could possibly do is to sit still, although it is highly enticing to sit still because you're not sure what the new team is going to do, and it's unrealistic to assume that the new team isn't going to come in with a new set of ideas and agendas. And typically, the current work is the work that's most likely to be considered for not being continued. But the worst thing that a government leader could do at this point is to sit still and do nothing, because programs that aren't delivering anything are the easiest targets to get rid of to save up money for new initiatives.
Now, at the cabinet level, presidents tend to know the people, at least a lot of them, that they appoint. For example, Donald Trump knows Mr. Mnuchin for Treasury. He probably knows Betsy DeVos for Education. But when you get to the people like Phyllis Schneck for cybersecurity at Homeland Security, or the former federal CIO Tony Scott, it's unlikely President Obama knew them personally. So the question is, are we seeing the people coming in that in turn will know the people that should be appointed to these types of, you know, not necessarily Senate confirmed, but very important positions throughout
right.
the pantheon?
Well, you sort of have the cascading thing of, you know, picking a new secretary for a cabinet level agency then sort of drives that person having the ability to help pick some of their leadership team. And so this then comes in stages, right? So it could be quite some time before they all get filled. And again, you know, they're not going to all know, you know, have direct relationships to the White House, so to speak. So there's got to be some clear messaging about what are our administration priorities and how do we expect you as the leader for this particular part of the organization to go execute those missions. And what I know that we're concerned about at the Professional Services Council right now is that until that happens, like logical statements that are made can be misconstrued by agencies. For example, you know, there's a current hiring freeze for civilian employees for some finite period of time until OMB and OPM come up with a plan, and exemptions for national security and public safety. But then we see examples where people go beyond that, go, well, if we can't hire any civilian employees, then maybe we shouldn't continue to fund a contract, or we should stop other activities. And clearly that's going beyond the intent. Similarly, you know, people are very concerned to sort of speak out at this moment. The gag order seems very strong, but there seems to be a desire to not have government officials be speaking publicly yet. I understand that. The new team wants to get their new agenda in place. But at the same time, there's important dialogue that needs to take place between government and industry, government and the citizens, so that, you know, we don't end up misdirecting efforts or missing out on opportunities to get important work done in the near term.
I know the council has weighed in on the purported cessation of contracting and grant making at EPA. Have you seen that elsewhere? And what's your take on that whole situation?
Yes. Well, so the EPA situation was particularly concerning to us because we had a number of companies point out that not only was EPA temporarily halting new contract awards and new task order awards on existing contracts, but there was also, and grants for that matter, but perhaps most disturbingly, freezing payments on existing work. And so we raised those issues to EPA in a letter. And since then, we've seen that EPA has finished their briefings with the transition team on contracts and grants, and approval seemed to be in place for most of the work to move forward. And EPA said that they will engage with the contract community, and we encourage that. But we are hearing anecdotes like this elsewhere. We're hearing anecdotes about agencies putting halts on task order awards. We're hearing agencies actually saying to contractors, well, you know, if you have a vacancy on your funded contract, you can't fill that job because, you know, we can't fill civilian positions. Now, these are all sort of anecdotes. I don't want to describe these as major trends in government. But each one of those, I think, has to be addressed and tamped down because they're clearly beyond the scope of what was intended. Because what was intended was freeze on civilian workforce until a plan could be in place to figure out how to reduce the size of the civilian workforce through attrition, which is a good, important conversation to have. And clearly, you don't want an agency circumventing that rule by using a contractor. But beyond that, there's a whole lot of work that the government relies on the private sector to perform requirements are valid and contracts are in place and work needs to continue.
Dave Wennergren is Executive Vice President for Operations and Technology at the Professional Services Council. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, Tom. Great talking with you.
And we'll post this interview where you can find extensive IT coverage at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.